so very thankful that that is a real God that we just heard about. It's not just words, but it is a God that knows each one of our names. He cares about us. He has a vested interest in our spiritual success in this life. He has our back. He goes ahead of us. He goes behind us. He watches our sides. And He's looking to help us make it through to the end successful. A number of months back, we brought a message titled, Where is God? And how that God, on a daily basis, makes Himself visible in so many amazing ways. Sometimes we can become tempted to look around and look at our trouble and see things that aren't going like we'd like, and we wonder, where's God? And yet, when we look up and we look around and have our spiritual eyes open, we recognize that God is at work. He's a present God and He is an alive God. Well, today, this morning, I'm inspired with a message that deals with those times where God indeed removes a blessing from our lives that we have come to become accustomed with and to, and how that the Lord doesn't want us to be discouraged and wonder where is God, but rather instead of giving up, the Lord wants us to look up. And that's the title of my lesson today. The little message is don't give up. But look up. I'd like to read a passage out of the 5th chapter of Joshua this morning. We'll read just a few verses, maybe 12 through 15, Joshua 5 and 12. And it said, and the manna ceased on the morrow, after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. In the 12th verse we read where it said, and the manna ceased. Do you remember how many years they were living on manna? How many years manna had reliably come to them as food? Remember how many years? 40 years. Exodus 16 tells us that they had received manna for 40 years. But now, one day, just a short time passed from the time manna came down, and then they woke up one morning and there's no manna. That God had given them reliably, that they had needed, that had given them strength to go on and to help satisfy their hunger, they got up one morning and there's no manna. Well, what do you think they thought? I wonder what went through their mind. Do you think they were really happy about that? Do you think they had questions? Do you realize that if they had received manna for 40 years, there were people there that were between newborns and 40 years old. Now, we have quite a few people here this morning that haven't reached the age of 40 yet. And what that means is, is that some of you that are here that are even in your 30s and pushing 40, for your entire life, you didn't know anything but manna. And hopefully, parents had taught their children and that are now adults where this manna came from. And told them, now listen, there was a time where there was no food. There was a time we were hungry. And the Lord God in heaven sent manna for us. And I imagine there was probably some also that took it for granted. 40 years every single day, except for the seventh day. Of course, that was a reminder to them too that there was something special about that. If you ever thought about that, how does it come 6 days and then on the seventh day it doesn't come over and over again? And that in itself was demonstrating the hand of God. But after a while, you get used to this stuff coming down. Oh, that's just the manna. And I wonder how many things God does like that for us in life. Blessings that are good for us, that benefit us, that are there day after day after day after day, and pretty soon we just come to expect it. But then one day, it was gone. And I have an idea that there were probably many, that felt despair. Maybe they felt, where's God? Does God not care about us anymore? Has God departed from us? Did we do something wrong? Was there something that God is now displeased with us in life and He has departed from us? Did you know that we too can experience such things in our life? And a lot of times they're not easy, difficult things that we face in life. But I'd like to consider this morning that God sent from heaven in a miraculous way the very thing that they needed at that time in their lives. But now there came a time when God looked out and He recognized, there's more land for this people that I want them to have. There's some giants to conquer. There's some mountains to climb. And it's time now for them to experience some milk and honey. It's now time for them to begin to partake, the scripture said, of a corn. They ate the corn of the old land. Now the Lord had some corn of the new land. It was time in God's providence to move on, to advance, to mature, to get out of their comfort zone of having this blessing just come down regardless. It was time to maybe step into the water of faith once again. Well, sometimes I want to say this morning, sometimes we ourselves stray from where the blessings of God are. Yes, that happens. Sometimes the manna is there and we stray from where the manna is. And sometimes we have to redirect our steps to get us back in the place where the blessings of God are that were always there for us. But it is also true this morning, and this is the message that I have for you today, is that it's also true that for God's people, people that are endeavoring to serve Him, people that are doing all that they know to serve the Lord, that there are also times that God removes the blessing. That God removes a blessing that we have enjoyed for perhaps a long time in our lives because He wants us to advance. Because He has something for us outside of the manna that perhaps has been supplied for us for so long. And brothers and sisters, if we don't advance, we're going to go hungry. Because the place of blessing has advanced. If we endeavor to stay in the same place that we've always stayed, if we despair when a blessing is removed from us, and we just curl up and stay right where we've always been, wishing that we still had the blessing that we had had for so long, but we don't advance, we're going to go hungry. Are you hungry today? The Lord wants us to advance where the blessing has advanced. I think about, maybe you had this experience, or maybe you had it with your children when you first learned to ride a bike and it had training wheels on it. You know, little people, they're just happy to climb onto a little bike. I don't know. I don't remember a lot of little people looking at their little bike that's, you know, so big and see the training wheels on the back and say, "Would you please take those training wheels off?" They're just happy to have a little bike. And they get on their little bike and they ride their bike, and that bike stays upright. Doesn't fall down. It's always upright. And if they get off balance, sometimes the bike weaves a little bit, unless they really get off balance. But if they just mind their P's and Q's a little bit, that bike's going to stay upright. And they can enjoy their bike with their training wheels. But there comes a time when those that love the children, those that care about the child, those that have a vision of something better than training wheels, decides that one day it's time to take the training wheels off, understanding that it might result in a skinned knee and a bloody nose, and that it might result in some tears, because they're probably going to fall over a couple times, but they recognize that when they get it, they've got something so much more enjoyable than riding a bike with training wheels. Riding a bike without training wheels is so much more fulfilling than riding a bike with training wheels. And the ones that love us are willing to take the training wheels off and allow us to go through a hard place that we might find a more fulfilling place in life. This message isn't just about when we're young, when we're first saved, and when we haven't maybe gone very long for the Lord, and so He's taken away milk from us and starting to feed us a little bit of solid food. Folks, I believe that all through our lives, through the course of our entire lives, we come to these places in life where the Lord sees fit to remove something that we have enjoyed in the past. Where He sees fit to send something our way that if we don't advance, we're going to go without. We're going to go hungry. We're going to feel less than fulfilled. Why? Is it because the Lord doesn't love us? No, to the contrary, it's because God wants to take us to a different place. The Lord wants to take us to a place of increased blessing. He wants to take us to a place where we can enjoy some milk and honey. A place of habitation that we before have not been able to enjoy. So yes, sometimes when we as Christians fail to have a blessing in life that we've grown accustomed to, it doesn't necessarily mean that God has left you, but rather that perhaps God is leading you to a place of greater blessing. You remember the blind man that God led, that Jesus led out of town? Before the Lord touched his eyes and restored his sight, he said, "Come with me," and he led him to a place out of town. I don't know how familiar the blind man was with the whole town, but he led him perhaps away from the place he was comfortable with. He had grown accustomed to understanding there's a curb here and I need to stay on this side of the road over here. And this place here is where maybe people will have the most mercy on me and give me some offerings to help me through the day. But Jesus said, "Come with me." And he took him away from all of those blessings, perhaps, that he had had in that place. And when he got to a place outside of town, perhaps a place that he was not yet familiar with, it was there that the Lord opened his eyes. The Lord wants us to be willing to be led today. The Lord wants to touch us in a special way. The Lord is looking to help us grow in grace. He wants us to grow in our faith. He wants us to experience some things that give us greater measures of faith, so that the next thing that comes along, that our faith will be an increase, so that He doesn't put more upon us than what we're able to bear. God is looking for us to bear more fruit of the Spirit this morning. He wants us to trust in His plan. But it involves change. Sometimes it involves big change. It involves changes of life, ways of life, that are not always easy. Most change isn't often, particularly in this life. And it can be a challenge for us, for we as human beings, to change, because as human beings, we have a tendency to settle in, don't we? We have a tendency to find comfort in familiar places. And if everything is going seemingly okay, we would rather not have to change our nest. We just have a way of getting comfortable and not wanting to change. And I'd like this morning to reflect a little bit on a human action model for change that we could maybe disagree on bits and pieces of it, but in general, this applies to what has to take place for most of us to be willing to change. And I'm just speaking in life right now to start with. And the first one is that we become discontent with our current state. Discontent with our current state. And the second one is that we have a vision of a better state. And thirdly, that we see a path to a better state. You see, a lot of us, we might be discontent with our current state and we may not like it, but we may not have a vision of a better state. And so we just stay where we are. Some people, they're discontent with their current state. They have a vision of a better state, but they see no path to get there. And so often, people won't change until they're discontented with their current state. They have a vision of a better state and they can see how to get there. And sometimes you become discontent with your current state because you capture a vision of a better state and it makes you discontent with your current state. But you know, sometimes we're not discontent with our current state. Speaking spiritually now, sometimes spiritually speaking, we're okay. We're fine. We've been eating manna for 40 years. We felt the blessings of the Lord in so many areas of our life, and we're not discontent with our current state. But sometimes God is discontent with our current state. And the Lord indeed has a vision of a better state for us. And so what the Lord does to help us, He takes steps to move us and cause us to be discontent with our current state. Sometimes He removes the manna. He removes the manna that we've grown accustomed to in our current state. Sometimes He introduces a hardship in our life that we never expected, causes us not to be very happy with our current state. And He does that because He wants to start to stir us, because He has a vision of something better for us. And He can help us with a path. He is the answer to get us to a better place. He takes steps to move us, and He did that here in this story that we read. They took the manna away. They became discontent with the plains because they got a vision of Jericho. Let's read on and see what happened next. And it said, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went up to him," and it's interesting the question he asked him. He said, "Are you for us or are you for our adversaries?" As if there was just two options. Are you on our side or are you on their side? And the captain of the Lord of hosts said, No, you don't understand. It's neither one of those. I'm not on your side, and I'm I'm not on their side. I'm the captain of the Lord of hosts. The question is, for all of us this morning, are we on God's side? That's our concern. Our concern is not, will the Lord go with me and be on my side and follow me? Our concern is that we say, Lord, where are you? I'm going to follow wherever you lead me. And the challenge to us today is, are we taking steps? Are you taking the steps this morning to position yourself in the place where God can bless you? And if a blessing seems to be removed, and maybe it's not a physical thing, maybe it's not a temporal thing, maybe you're starting to feel something way down in your soul, in your heart. You don't feel content. You feel there's an emptiness. You're not sure what it is, but you don't feel like you used to. And you can't just put your finger on it and you wonder, has God left me? Is He gone? Where is God? Does He not care about me anymore? And maybe that God is calling you to a closer place with Him. It may be that the Lord is wanting to lead you in a place that you have not been before. Let's finish reading. And he said, Nay, as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship. You see, at this point, Joshua was interested in what he had to say. They were discontent with their current state. They had been in the plains for 40 years. They had survived on manna, but now the manna had been taken away. They weren't content anymore, and they had a vision of a better state. The spies had already gone out. They had seen Jericho. They had seen the milk and the honey and the grapes and all these things that were just way outside of what they had experienced. But they didn't know how to get there yet. How are we going to take Jericho? What are we supposed to do at this point? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And says that Joshua did so. Do you remember some time ago we had a message about Moses and the burning bush? You remember what God said to Moses when he approached the burning bush? It was the same thing. God told Moses the same thing. Moses, take your shoes off. The place that you're standing is holy. It's holy ground. Moses, Joshua, you need to remove that you're standing on. You need to take your own ideas. You need to set them off to the side. You're standing on holy ground. You need to remove your shoes. That you stand on, that you tell where to walk, where you want to go, where you find, where you think is the right direction to go, you need to set all of that to the side. Take your shoes off. You're on holy ground. You're on ground that where the Lord is. And His ways are above your ways. He's way outside of the space that you live in and how you think. You need to take your shoes off. Put them off to the side. Before I can deliver the word of the Lord to you, you need to be willing to set aside your way of thinking. This is His territory. Don't we often, I'll speak for myself, it's easy to come to the Lord with a solution already. It's easy to come to the Lord with my own ideas on how things should be. And sometimes it's hard for us to be open to an answer that involves the removal of a blessing. That's not usually our answer. Our answer usually is, I want everything that I already have that's a blessing, plus I want something else. Lord, I stand in need of this. But we don't often come to the Lord and say, Lord, would you like to take away some of these blessings that I have in my life? Lord, these things that are important to me, Lord, these things that I value, would you like to take any of these, Lord, from me that I might draw closer to you? We don't normally approach God that way, I don't think. Or at least it's not human nature. We usually want all of that, plus then we want the Lord to give us something else. But to hear the voice of the Lord, to be able to receive the instruction that He has for us, to be able to advance, we have to set our way to the side. We have to be willing to be humble and to fully submit to what the Lord has for us. Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, says the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Do you believe it? We say, yes, I believe it. God's above where I am. He's above my thoughts. And yet we hold on to our thoughts. And yet the Lord tries to remind us the way of man is not in himself. It's not in you that walketh to direct your own steps. You need to set your way of walking to the side and let me lead and guide you. Isaiah 55:8 tells us that the Lord's thoughts and His ways are higher than our ways. Proverbs 3:5 exhorts us to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not to our own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. But how often do we feel pretty wise in our own eyes? We feel like we have the answer a lot of times, particularly in those things that are going well for us. The things that aren't going well for us, well, maybe I missed it. But the things that are going well for us, we think, this is right. This is how it should be. But as we read before God can lead us, we have to be willing to remove our sandals and be still. And so the Lord tells us in the 47th chapter of Psalms, be still and know that I'm God. Just be still. I'm God. I know. I know who you are. I know what you're getting ready to face. I know the strength that you need. I know how your faith needs to be developed. I know how you're going to have to go to be successful up ahead. Trust me with your life. How committed are we today to saying, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee? Are we willing to come to the Lord with more than just lip service? Are we willing to truly and honestly humble ourselves and be willing for God to give and to take away, and to still be able to say, blessed be the name of the Lord? I'm desperate for the Lord's direction this morning. He knows what I need when I don't. But for me to hear His voice, it's going to require me to give up the familiarity of the plains, the blessings that I have come to expect, and be willing to be led to places of greater faith. Be willing to go through some waters that I haven't before gone. Climb some mountains that perhaps I haven't climbed before. Folks, not being discouraged when the manna ceases, but to be encouraged to look to the Lord, from whence cometh our help. And by the grace of God, to be able to be willing to follow and push ahead with a renewed sense of urgency. We can do this, y'all. We can do this regardless of what comes our way. God will help us. He is our Lord. He is our God. He is the Creator of the heavens and the earth. And He has special things for us. Caleb, in his old age, asked for the mountain. He could have just been content and said, it's good. But he realized there was something more, and he pushed ahead. Today, let's be willing to be a Caleb. The Lord desires good things for us. If the manna ceases, keep the faith and push ahead today. We say, where is God when that happens? God is present. God is leading us. And God still loves us. And God is looking out for our best interests. When the manna ceases, when a blessing goes away, don't give up. Look up, for our salvation draweth nigh. That's my little message this morning. I trust the Lord will bless these thoughts to your heart, that we would be encouraged people, that when things don't go well for us, our trust in God doesn't waver, and we hold on for this special place that the Lord is leading us. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.